Hello, ladies, and welcome back to the Women in English podcast. I say welcome back because it's a long time that I haven't been here and I haven't recorded a podcast. So I'm very, very, very happy to be here with a brand new episode talking all about being back in Australia. So we've got some changes to the podcast and I've introduced some brand new segments that we actually didn't have last year. So we're going to start off by learning some new colloquial words and expressions. Then we're going to do a little bit of story time where I'm going to be telling you a short story. So it's going to be great for your listening and your comprehension. And then a new segment that I've introduced called 10 Things That. And this episode, we're going to be talking about 10 things that shock me about Australia. Now we're going to be finishing off today's episode where I'm going to be answering one of your questions. I asked over on Instagram the other day, what English questions would you like me to answer in this week's podcast? And I got many answers, and one of them that I chose was about the difference between on and of. Two confusing prepositions. Well, all prepositions are a little confusing, but today, hopefully, we're going to shed some light on the difference between these two prepositions and you guys can feel a little bit more confident about using them. So before we go ahead and jump in, I just really want to do a little bit of a shout out to all of, and you guys know who you are, but all of the beautiful women in Women in English, particularly the women over in our WhatsApp group, for all of your letters, cards, and messages that you sent me over the past 4 months where I was not well and I was absent from the community. Your love and your support really did give me the strength and help me get through some really dark days and just stay motivated in wanting to come back and, you know, come back and do what I love to do, which is teach you all English. So thank you all so much for all those beautiful words. So let's jump straight in now and learn some new vocabulary. So ladies, since being back in Australia, I've actually been here for, I think it's almost 2 months. It was a real eye-opener in regards to vocabulary for me because, as you know, I had been living in Italy for almost 10 years. So my English became very refined and very British-like because I was mainly just using it to teach. And since being back here in Australia, I started to remember some very colloquial expressions that I actually used to use all the time. I've chosen a few of them and we're going to go through and learn them together. So the first new word is busting. Busting. And this word was reintroduced to me by my daughter, who surprisingly used it the other day. She said, Mom, I'm busting. Quick, we have to go. And I thought, oh, I forgot about that word. So busting means to have to go to the toilet. Like you really, really have to go to the toilet and you say, I am busting. So you can just simply say, I'm busting. And people understand this as I really need to go to the toilet. Or you can use it in a more complete sentence and say, I'm busting. I have to go to the toilet. The next expression that I have is to give something a go. To give something a go. For example, don't be scared, give it a go. Or I'm not sure, but I'm just gonna give it a go. To give something a go means just to simply try something, to try something new without knowing exactly what the outcome is going to be, but to test your luck and just give it a go. Now, the next expression we have is very Australian, and it's to be cut at someone. Cut as in the verb to cut a piece of paper. To be cut at someone. Now, this is an expression we just use when we're talking about personal relationships, and it is very informal, and it means to be very angry and offended with somebody. So I can say, I am so cut at her. I can't believe she did that to me. And that just means I'm so angry and offended with her. I can't believe she did that to me. Remembering just to use this expression when we're talking about our personal relationships. You wouldn't say I'm cut at my colleague or I'm cut at my boss. It's way too informal for that. Now, the next one is another expression that we're going to look at, and it is to strive towards something. To strive towards something. Now, I rediscovered again this expression while I was having a look at lots of job descriptions because I've been applying for different jobs, and I kept seeing the expression to strive towards something come up. And it's a really great expression. It is a little more on the formal side, and it just simply means to aim towards something, to have a goal to reach something. So I can say I'm striving for a new job, meaning I'm really working hard and my goal is to get a new job. Or I'm striving to improve my English, meaning I'm trying really hard to improve my English, and that is one of my goals. Now, the last word that we're going to have a look at is, again, not a word, but a very short expression, all good. All good. Now, we can use this in a few different ways. It is incredibly versatile. And for those of you who are here in Australia, you would have heard it all the time. And for those of you thinking of coming, it is a great expression for you to learn. So all good, the most common way we can use it is if we are replying to the question, how are you? So if someone says, hey, how are you? Or how are you going? You can say all good, meaning everything is great. I feel great. I have nothing to complain about. And that's the most common way we can use it. Another way that we can use it is actually when somebody apologizes to us. So imagining the situation that, you know, someone said, oh, I'm so sorry. And in reply to that, you know, you can say, that's okay, don't worry. Or you can also use the expression all good, which means the exact same thing. So somebody says, oh, I'm so sorry for that. I didn't mean it. You can say, oh, all good, don't worry. Or just simply say all good. Now, the last common way that we use this expression is when we want to confirm that somebody has understood something. So if you're in the process of explaining something to somebody and then you finish and you say, okay, all good, you are saying, okay, is everything clear? Do you understand everything that I'm talking about? So ladies, those are the new words for today. We've got busting, to give something a go, to be cut at somebody, to strive towards something, and all good. All right, ladies, so now it's time to sit down, get a cup of coffee, and ready to listen to our story of the week. That was a little bit too much of an important introduction for the story that I'm going to be sharing with you, but I hope that you do enjoy it. I thought that seeing as in this podcast, we're talking all about me being back in Australia, and that's what I've been speaking, you know, mainly about over on Instagram and in our WhatsApp and Facebook group, I thought, hey, why not do the same thing over here in our podcast? So As you girls may know or may not know, in December, we came to Australia after having lived in Italy myself for almost 10 years and my partner Giorgio, who's actually born there, like my daughter, we came back to Australia. Now, it's the second time we come to Australia. We came for a holiday a few years back, just for a very short amount of time. And this time we are here for a much longer period. And it's actually going really well. So I'm feeling quite good about being back. It's interesting to come back after such a long period of time of living in another country. For as much as I am Australian, I think when you live in another country with a completely different culture for, 10 plus years, you almost come back and it's like you're a tourist. And that's a little bit how I feel. A lot of things, are very familiar and feel a lot like home. But I'm still at the point where I feel more Italian than Australian. And I actually even felt that way when I lived here. So a lot of things shock me and a lot of things I find difficult to get used to. The main thing I'm going to say, and then in the next segment, I'm going to talk about 10 things that shocked me about Australia. But the main thing that I struggled with in the beginning and still struggling with now is, I'm going to say, the food, which is strange because, I was born here. I spent 23 years of my life living here. And when I first moved to Italy, I had the same problem that I struggled with the food. I missed Australian food. But yes, it's different. Like I keep, you'll all laugh because it's very stereotypical, but I keep missing pizza because in Italy, well, I lived in Rome, and in Rome we had something called pizza taglio, which were many small pizza restaurants where you could just get like a slice of pizza. And it was a normal thing to eat as a snack or when, you kind of wanted something quick and easy to eat, you would just get a piece of pizza. And here, we don't have that. If you would eat a pizza, it's seen as you would go to a restaurant and sit down and eat a pizza, and it was more seen as a once in a while meal, not so much as an everyday snack. So every time we go out and I'm just like, oh, I'm a bit hungry. Oh, I would like a piece of pizza. But we can't get that here because we'd have to go to a restaurant. So it was a bit difficult even now when I'm feeling a little homesick. Me and Giorgio really do miss that. And something else in regards to the food is that here, I feel like it's fantastic. We're in Melbourne, and for those of you who have been to Melbourne, you know that you can pretty much get every single cuisine here. And, you've got Asian, you've got Greek, you've got Italian, Lebanese, and it's very, very multicultural, which is great. But I struggled with it at the beginning because I felt like unless you were cooking food at home, every type of food that you could get while you were out was very, it's very rich, it's very heavily spiced, it's got lots of condiments, meaning lots of sauces, lots of flavorings. And I felt like the food didn't really agree with me. Even if I was eating like healthy food, I felt like there was more preservatives and additives. And that's an interesting thing about, I'm going to say my experience in Australia, just because I want to be sensitive that other people may not have had this experience. It is my perspective, but it's something that I always kind of, struggled with a little bit in regards to that, like lots of allergies, lots of preservatives. And I found, I've been finding it a little bit hard in regards to the food, but now we are living by ourselves. Before we were staying with family, now we have our own place, and I feel like, you know, I'm able to source some, you know, local produce and just do a lot of my own cooking and meal prep. And slowly I feel like I'm getting into, you know, my normal routine that I had at home, where I'm making, like, you know, my banana bread and my protein bowls, and we've got, like, you know, I can make my smoothies again. So I feel a little bit, you know, more healthy, which is good. So it's taking some time to get used to. And the second thing that I thought that I would talk to you guys a little bit about is Mia and her English, because obviously we're all here to learn English. And it's been really, really amazing to watch her learn English the way she's learning. If any of you guys are, you know, your mums and you're maybe concerned about moving to an English-speaking country because you've got kids and how they would take it, I've got a very positive experience to share with you. Now, everyone is different, but kids are so resilient and so amazing. Like, at the beginning, she struggled a little bit. It was, you know, it's normal. It was a really long flight. It's really stressful to be away from friends and family. But wow, like, it's incredible how just being in a new country for 2 weeks, kids literally absorb the language. Like, it's so cliche to say, but they really are like sponges. And I was so shocked because, you know, in the beginning, maybe the first month, she wasn't in kindergarten and she wasn't in an environment where we're just speaking in Italian. And I was shocked that she was coming out in, like, full sentences in English and just asking me questions in English. I thought, how is she doing it? And it's literally just the exposure and maybe the television or hearing people at the park. Kids really do absorb that new language. It's amazing. Their brain is like mush and anything, you know, fits inside. So it's been really cool to see that and experience, you know, her growth and her development, where I was a little concerned when we were in Italy because I was really trying to, you know, help her learn English, and I always felt like, oh, she's, you know, she's just one step behind, or she's not getting it like she is in Italian. And since being here, I'm just like, whoa, like, she gave me the idea to teach you the word busting. I'd completely forgotten about that word. So she's doing a really good job. And, you know, so far everything's going really well here, and I'm really, really happy to be here. All right, ladies, so up to our almost last segment in this week's podcast. We're going to be talking about 10 things that, and this week we're talking about 10 things that shock me about Australia. When I was brainstorming this list, I was like, oh my God, did these things shock you before you arrived? Or is it just now that they shock you because it's been so long since you've been back? But the very first thing that shocked me and also Georgia was that everything closes at like 5:30. Now, for those of you who are in Europe, particularly in Italy, you know that, like, even at 7 o'clock at night, you just, like, go downstairs, take a walk, go and get an ice cream, you know, get a cake, walk around, and it's full of people. Here, and I'm in Melbourne, so I've been to Brisbane, and I know that it's even worse than this, because Melbourne, Sydney, it's like our two main, you know, metropolitan cities. Everything closes so early, in particular shopping centers. So you can't go to the shopping center after 5:30 because everything is closed. And, you know, that even now, we're getting used to it. Like, Mia's starting to go to bed earlier, and we're starting to understand, you know, the day kind of ends at 5 o'clock, but it's weird. Like, for those of you who are going to come here from Europe, like, be prepared by 5:30, the day's finished. The next thing that shocked me is that the toilet paper is on the opposite way. Now, what do I mean by that? When you're in the bathroom and you have to put the toilet roll on the kind of hanger, like, so it hangs off the wall, you will notice, if you're from Europe, in Australia they put it the opposite way than what you would put it. So it's not frontwards, it's backwards. And when I first went to Italy, I did this and I didn't even realize it was a thing. And Giorgio would always be like, oh, you're putting on the toilet paper the wrong way. Like, that's not how it goes. It's so difficult to get. And then after many years, you know, I switched and I started putting the toilet paper the other way. And now that I'm back in Australia, I find myself anytime I go to my mother's house or my grandmother's house, I'm switching their toilet paper. So it's on the Italian side, which is just something very silly and funny. And I'm going to have to get some time to get used to it. The third thing that shocks me about Australia is that public transport, I'm talking about Melbourne, is so expensive. Oh my God. It's to the point where it is cheaper to drive around, pay for petrol, pay for parking, which is pretty expensive, than to take trains, trams, and buses. To get into the city, like that's maybe 10Ks away, so maybe, you know, not that many stops. It's probably a 20-minute train ride. Just one way, it's going to cost you close to, I think it's about $4, which for those of you who are in Italy and Europe, that's about like €2.50. Then to come back home, it's another €2.50. So a whole, you know, trip just to the city and back is costing you like €5. In Italy, I would buy like a monthly membership for €30, which is so, so cheap. So that's something that we've been struggling with. And because of that, we have bikes. Not because of that, but you know, as an alternative, we're biking and yeah, actually wanting to drive instead of taking public transport. The next thing that shocked me in the beginning of arriving here in Australia is that parks are really empty. So in Italy and in the majority of places in Europe, people live in apartments, which means kids don't have backyards. So at 10 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, and then from like 4 o'clock until 7:30 in the evening, parks are packed with kids and parents, and it's just like full of kids. Here in Australia, however, it's not really like that. So children have houses with backyards and the majority of kids play at home. So parks aren't really packed unless you go to the park maybe on a Sunday afternoon because it's the weekend. But during the week, they're kind of deserted, which kind of really shocked me. The next thing is that kids go to bed at 7 o'clock again. Women from Europe, mums from Europe, you would know that you don't even eat dinner at 7 o'clock. So here, kids go to bed extremely early. Mia, when she was at home, she would go to bed at like 8:30, between 8:30 and 9:30. And now that she's here, I mean, we haven't really changed our habits. To be honest, we still eat dinner at like 6 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock like we did in Italy, which is not Italian-like. But Mia's starting to get tired really early and I've noticed that she's already going to bed by 7:30. So this shocked me a little bit, but if you put into account that the day finishes at 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock, kids in bed, it kind of, you know, there's not really much else to do. It's a really different lifestyle. So, you know, we're getting used to it. The next thing is that everything is so quiet. Now, what's interesting here in Australia, our residential area and our commercial area are divided. In Italy and in the rest of Europe, residential and commercial areas are all in the same district, which means if you, you know, leave your apartment building, you're pretty much on a busy road where there are shops and there are lots of traffic and people. Here, it's not like that. Where you live is just houses, and then you need to either walk or get a car to the commercial area where there are just shops. Now, because of this division, everything is very quiet. And when I go for a walk around my block, it's just silence. And I was kind of used to this because we were living in the countryside in Italy, but it can be a little lonely and isolating. And in general, I just think that Australia is a lot quieter, even at the park. Like the parks are so quiet and there are no parents that yell and scream, and even the children themselves just play in silence. So it's a little different. The next thing that shocked me is that Australians speaking Italian, I tried to explain this to Giorgio, but being Italian, especially in Melbourne, is like a novelty. It's seen as something really cool. So wherever we go and we say that, you know, we're from Italy, I keep finding that Australians would randomly then try to speak to us in Italian and say random words in Italian with a very Australian accent, which is quite difficult because we're not able to understand. And I never realized this before, but for example, we went to the doctor and just to get Mia to have a checkup, and the doctor who was looking after her would start trying to speak to her in Italian. And I thought, oh my God, wow, I didn't remember that the Italian culture was so strong in Melbourne. The next thing that shocked me is that kids only do 15 hours of kindergarten a week. So this again is for mums that if you're wanting to move to Australia and you've got kids that are 3 and 4 years old, between the ages of 3 and 4, kids are able to go to kindergarten. However, they can only do 15 hours of kindergarten. So if you want your child to do more kindergarten, they can't. And it's a little different in Italy. Kids just go to like kindergarten all day. So this was a little shocking for us. I mean, they can do childcare, but it's extremely expensive. It's like $100 a day. And it's just more common, I realized, for younger children here to stay at home with their parents until they start primary school. You know, there are kids that are maybe like, you know, 4 years old that have just started to be in school, like to be in kindergarten. And other than that, they were just home with their mums. And it's really lovely. Like, it's great that the country allows mums to be able to spend so much time with their kids. It's just really different compared to back in Italy. The next thing that shocked me is the fact that there are literally spiders everywhere. So when I was in Italy, I always got questions about the animals, if there were spiders and sharks and kangaroos. And I think I remembered incorrectly. Since being here, we are seeing spiders everywhere. And even in Italy, we lived in the countryside, so there were lots of spiders. But these are like mammoth spiders, meaning they are really big spiders. And when we were at my nonna's house, we saw a huntsman spider. Now go ahead and Google huntsman. For those of you who don't know what it is a ginormous spider. And it was on the wall. I mean, George were like, oh my God. Like, let's keep all windows and doors completely sealed because like they're just gonna invade us. So that's something that we're trying to get used to, because here, like, I'm just paranoid that, oh, we're gonna get a spider bite and, you know, we're gonna get sick or we're gonna die because they're poisonous. So it shocked me a little bit. The very last thing that has shocked me about Australia is in regards to doctors. Now, in Italy, if you've got, like, you've got your doctor, but if you need to ask your doctor a really simple question, or you need a really quick prescription, or you just want to double check something, you can just send them a message on WhatsApp and the doctor will reply just like a friend, I can say, and you don't need to physically go to an appointment, and more importantly, you don't need to pay for an appointment. So if I would need a prescription, I would call my doctor and say, hey, you know, I need a refill for this particular medication. They'll email it to me and it'll be finished there. In Australia, my experience in Melbourne, it's not like that. So if I have a simple question that can be answered in 2 seconds, I need to call, make an appointment, wait for the appointment, and if I'm not covered by Medicare, pay a significant amount to just have one question answered, which is something that we all really need to get used to, because we're, you know, it's not common in Italy at all. We didn't have this experience. So that was the last thing that is still shocking me about Australia. All right, so it's grammar time. Here I'm going to be answering one of your English questions. And the question today is, what is the difference between on and of? So on and of are both prepositions. We're going to begin with on. So on is a preposition of place, and it refers to a surface of something. For example, I kept the dishes on the dining table. My pen is on the table. We're talking about when the location of an object is on the surface of something. Now, we can also use on to talk about days and dates. So the days of the week, my appointment's on Monday. I will work on Tuesday. Her birthday is on the 15th of April. We can use this when we're talking about televisions or devices. For example, the program is on the TV. It's on the radio. She is on the phone. We can also use on to talk about particular parts of the body. For example, I keep wearing my wedding ring on my finger. And lastly, we can use it to refer to a state. For example, the products available in the store are on sale. You'll see a lot of times you can say, oh, it's on sale. That's on sale. Talking about that is the state of being of the object that's on sale. It's at a discounted price. Now, switching over to of. Now, of we can use to indicate relating to or belonging to. For example, I always dreamed of being famous. I always dreamed of being famous. Or we can use of to indicate references. For example, this is a picture of my last birthday. Lastly, we can use of to specify the number or the amount of something. So I can say a good number of people understand Hindi. A good number of people understand Hindi. So ladies, that is the main differences between of and on. I hope that was helpful for you and you have a little bit more clarity around the subject. All right, ladies, so that brings us to the end of this week's Women in English podcast, talking all about being back in Australia. I hope you enjoyed the contents. Before I go, I just want to remind you to get more involved in the Women in English community and learn more English. You can go ahead and follow Women in English on Instagram. Now you're going to find all of the links here below, but you can follow us on Instagram. You can join the private Women in English Facebook group in order to talk to other women, participate in meetups, and just practice your conversation. As well as that, there are many, many Women in English courses that you can access over on Skillshare. We've got about 20 courses at the moment, ranging from vocabulary to grammar to job interview preparation to fear and anxiety when speaking English. So they are really great video courses that you can access by signing up to Skillshare. Again, you will find all of the links below in the description box. Thanks again for being here. It's great to be back, and I'll see you all soon. Bye, ladies.